Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you again for bearing with me last week with my croaky voice and for all the offers of Ricola sweets, etc. Baruch Hashem, things are somewhat improved, although I'm still got a little bit of a wheezy cough, just to prove it. But I shall try and avoid coughing as much as possible. I'd like to thank the sponsors. The entire academic year is sponsored anonymously, Le'u Nishmois Brana Bas Brandit and Zedek Ben Kalman. And also today's shiur specifically is sponsored by Anna and Simon Wiseman. Simon actually sent me a note to say that even though they sponsored the shiur, they couldn't actually be here today. They had an appointment. But the shiur is sponsored by Anna and Simon to mark the 25th yard site of Natan Meir Ben Shimon HaKohen, Anna's father, whose Yahrzeit is on the 18th of Tevet. So thank you to those sponsors, and it should be an aliyah for those neshamas. If I could remind you, please, to turn off your phones, and we will get into this topic, which is fascinating, and one which Howie already mentioned has actually been on the daf recently, although that's not why I chose it. One of the reasons I chose it is because believe it or not, this is actually becoming a major problem within our own society. There is something of an epidemic of gambling addiction, especially amongst young men in the Orthodox society, in the Orthodox world in America. If anyone is interested, I referenced at the bottom here one of Rabbi Scott Kahn's recent episodes on the Orthodox conundrum was dedicated to this issue. And I've brought you a reference there. And he had a speaker there who is a very well-known researcher and educator who was talking about the epidemic proportions. I've actually encountered this myself in recruiting for our high school students, even young women, Orthodox women, who come into their gap year with gambling addictions. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about the topic. And then once we're on the topic of kind of societal vice issues, although we don't hear that word very often these days, I'd like to talk a little bit over the next couple of weeks about other related topics, specifically drugs focused, which we've never really spoken about as well. But we'll get onto that when we get there. But let's for today look at the issue of gambling. There is a global gambling market which is approaching $1 trillion a year, which is a lot of money. North America, obviously, is absolutely full of casinos. We don't see it here, really, because, obviously, casinos, interestingly, are still illegal in Israel, which is, I'm surprised it's lasted quite that long. People used to have to go down to Jericho, Yericho, if you remember, to go for their casino. But now, of course, it's an online world, and online gambling and betting is worth already well over $58-60 billion, and it's due to reach $182 billion by 2030. And children and teenagers are much more likely to develop gambling addictions, specifically online gambling. And this has got a lot worse in the last few years, because for any of those who were following the legislation in America, so in 2018, the Supreme Court in America struck down a piece of legislation called the Professional Amateur Sports Protection Act. That act was basically made it illegal to have sports gambling in any of the states of America other than Nevada, which obviously has had gambling as long as anyone can remember. And I think also there was an exception for Atlantic City in Jersey as well. But basically, other states were not allowed to do that. That was struck down as being unconstitutional, and therefore all the states now immediately jumped into this and legalized sports betting, and that has become a massive, massive epidemic. Obviously, these young men, mostly, a little bit young women, but the young men have got access to money somehow, and they've got access to an online connection. Of course, this became much worse during COVID, when people were sitting there for days and weeks and months on end looking for action, thinking about what to do with this computer screen in front of them. So this is one of the things they got into. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of these halachic issues. I've listed some here. Could you ever just regard it as recreation or entertainment? Does it matter whether you're a compulsive gambler or whether you're just buying a lottery ticket every now and then? What about a slot machine? You know, sticking a coin in there and pulling the handle and see what happens. What about playing dreidel? Okay, it's a bit late now because Hanukkah's finished, but I don't know if any of you are still avid dreidel players. Chinese auctions, charity auctions. What about Jews running gambling websites, which are mostly used by non-Jews? I know people who actually make their entire livelihood by running gambling websites. And they make a lot of money, I can assure you. What about this issue? What about certain risky business financial options, binary options? At what point does playing the stock market just become a more elaborate form of gambling? We'll talk about that as well. And also, are these people disqualified as witnesses? Will you, those of you who remember the Gemara just the last couple of days on the Daf, that's one of the discussions there as well. And there are a whole bunch of hashgafic questions which we need to look at. The kind of financialization of everything in our society these days, everything has to come down to money. We'll talk about those issues soon. Okay, let's look at the Talmud discussion. I like this issue because it fits right into our brief, if you like, for halachic issues and hashgafic issues. And it's quite a complicated halachic discussion, so hopefully I'll make it as clear as I can, and we will understand it well together. So it starts off with two mishnayot. First of all, there's a mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. This is talking about witnesses who are valid and invalid to witness the new moon. If you remember back in the day, they used to have witnesses come to the Bet Din. I saw the moon. This is what it looked like, etc. So number one, says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Eilu Hein Hapsulin. These following list of people are invalid. If they come and they say they've seen the moon, we cannot accept their testimony. And the first on the list, Hamasachik the Kubia. People who play with cubes. So you and I call those dice. They've been around forever. That is the first dice players. They are invalid. We'll see why. Malave ribis, okay, malve ribis, people who lend on ribis, people who give halva out, who on interest, who take interest for their loans. Umafriche yona, and mafriche yona. What's a mafriach yona? Pigeon racers, not something that I've been particularly connected with over the years. I don't know if people still do pigeon racing. People do. So have a look over the page. So the Baruch Tanura immediately jumps in, and the Rambam explains a little bit what these categories are. Number two, Kubia, says the Rambam. Kubi is Shem Nofel Al Kol Min Mimine Hamischakim. This is a shorthand for any kind of game. Okay? Shemuskam Aleihem Sheyikach Adam Mamoinam Chavere, where one, it's agreed that one is going to take the money of the other. Mashu Lifnei Heskem Oisa Hamischak. According to Lefi Heskem, according to the rules of the game, meaning these are the rules of the game. I'll bet on this, you'll bet on this, I'll take your money, you'll take my money. People are taking each other's money. And what we'll see in a minute is that there is a problem with this money that is being handed over during gambling. What about the pigeon races? So the Baruch Tanura says in number three, Mafricha Yona, Hainu Ke'en Kubia. Basically, it's the same idea. It's a kind of betting ring. Im, okay, Tidkadmei Yonach Leyoni. Is your yona going to reach the end before my yona? Now, you might ask whether there is a difference between these two kinds of games. Is there any skill involved? And we're going to get to this very soon. Is there skill involved in the roll of the dice? Is there skill involved in training up your pigeons so that they'll have that little advantage over Yenem's pigeons? Could be, you know, could be. Or knowing which pigeons to bet on, you know, recognizing when you look at them, which ones are the healthy ones, etc. We will see that one of the nafka minas between these, even the Rabbi Baruch Tanura said there is really no difference between them. One difference might be whether they are skilled or not skilled, and we'll see why that makes a difference in a minute. Okay, that's the first Mishnah. That these people, the people who play dice, people who race pigeons, are excluded from witness testimony for the new moon. Now, another Mishnah, number four. The Eluheim Apsulim. This is talking about general witness testimony in the Bet Din, not specifically about the new moon. Hamasachik Bekubia, again, the dice player. The Hamal Beberibis, the person who takes interest on his loans. Mafricha Yona, the person who races the pigeons. But importantly, and uniquely here, now we see a second opinion. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eimatai, when does this apply, this prohibition on these people as valid witnesses? Bizman she'ein lahem umnot elahu. At a time when they don't have any other meaningful employment. This is how they make their money. They're professional gamblers. Aval yesh lahem umnot. Shalohu. If they have another way of making money, they have another income stream. This is just a recreational thing. Kesherim. then they are valid as witnesses. Now, does that mean you're allowed to gamble? Or does that mean you're not allowed to gamble, but if you did, it's not as bad as being a professional gambler? So we'll see. But what we see here, very interestingly, is that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion appears in Sanhedrin as being a qualifier. He's more lenient. But he doesn't appear in the Mishnah there in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara analyzes this in Sanhedrin number 5 as follows. Masachik Bekubia. Mike Avid, if you're playing dice and gambling, so what could possibly be wrong with this? You're just playing a game. Why is this a problem? I'm a Rabbi Bar Chama, so remember the people involved here. Rabbi Bar Chama comes along and says the following. Mishum dahava asmachta. And we're going to have to learn what this term means. It's an important monetary term in halacha. Asmachta, from the word lismoch. You're leaning on something, but it's a kind of casual leaning on something. You're just leaning on it. What does that mean, asmachta? Asmachta is where I make a condition in a transaction that I make with you, and I had no intention of ever having to or needing to fulfill that condition. Even though I said, yes, if I don't pay you back, then the following will happen. In my mind, there was no way that that was ever going to be a reality. I had complete confidence I would be able to fulfill this condition. And therefore, in my own mind, I never in a million years expected to have to do that. And says the Gemara, gambling is asmachta. Well, the asmachta loy kanya, and asmachta is not a kinyan. It's not a good kinyan. Meaning, if I enter in, we'll see some examples of this. If I enter into one of these asmachta agreements with you, and the Gemara is going to decide that or suggest that gambling is one of these, when I take your money away because you bet and you lost, then that's stolen money. Because even though you agreed technically to give me the money, you never thought you'd lose. You knew you'd win. Your pigeon is the prize pigeon. And you looked at my Shvach Nebuch pigeon and you thought, oh yeah, I'll bet the house on that one. And something happened, something crazy happened, you lost. No, I was never intending to pay that. And therefore, when you take his money, it's stolen money. Asmachta lo kanya. So that's the first opinion. Rav Sheshish Amar, Rav Sheshish says, no. Kol ki hai gavna lav asmachta hi. That's not called asmachta. I'll define asmachta for you in a minute, he says, but this gambling is not real asmachta. The problem is not that it's stolen money. It's not stolen money. But the problem is that this person who's gambling is not doing anything useful with his life or her life. They're not involved in building the world. They're sitting there gambling their money away. So my binahu, what is the nafkamina between these two opinions, says the Gemara? If the guy has another profession, like Rabbi Yehuda said, meaning if you are not a professional gambler, if you do something honest for a living, like being a lawyer, what could be more honest as a living than being a lawyer? And then occasionally you have the little tipple. Occasionally you have gambling. So he says that's not going to be the same as somebody who is, according to Rabbi Bar Chama, every gambling transaction is stolen money. Fine. Ditznan, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, because here, look, we see Rabbi Yehuda. Eimatai, he says, when does this restriction apply? Bisman she'ein lahem umnos elahu, only if that's the only profession they have. Aval yesh lahem umnos shalohu kesheirim. Fine. So if that's so clear that if you have another profession, then it's not a problem. Alma, now we have a problem. Alma, tamid masnisi mishum yeshuva shaloylamu. The reason that it's a problem to gamble is because you're not involved in meaningful, gainful employment. So kashla Rami Bar Chama, so that's a problem for Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said it was because of stolen money. It was nothing to do with your general life's contribution to the world. It was every transaction is stolen. Ah, the key tema pligi rabbonon aled Rabbi Yehuda. And if you want to tell me that this is a machloket between rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda, and rabbonon takes one view which is stricter on the stolen money, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, v'ha'ama Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says no. Kol makom sha'ama Rabbi Yehuda eimatai ubema eino ele lefarish dibri chachomim. And this is actually very important because the Gemara wants to suggest that there really is no machloket here. Everybody actually has the same opinion. And when Rabbi Yehuda came and said, Eimatai, when does this restriction of gambling apply if you don't have any other profession? He's not arguing with the first opinion. He's explaining the first opinion. Whenever Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, Eimatai, he's not arguing, he's explaining. Really, everybody agrees, surely, that gambling is only an issue if it's your only professional job. So the Gemara concludes, no. Mar Savar Pligi. Umar Savar Lo Pligi. No, actually you have a debate between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Sheshet as to whether there is indeed a machloket in this Mishnah. According to Rami Bar Chama, there is a machloket in the Mishnah, and he says he wants to follow the first opinion, which is all gambling is prohibited, as stolen money. And according to the second opinion, Rav Sheshet, he says, no, I don't think there is a machloket in this Mishnah. Everybody really agrees with the qualification that it's only a problem if you don't have another job. Okay, so that's where the Gemara leaves it. Why would it be an issue if you don't have another job? What are we concerned about? Just because you're a professional gambler. So I want to introduce you to the Meiri in number 6, because the Meiri makes 4 suggestions, which actually take us into the Kishkas, if you like, of what is the problem with gambling? Why is this an issue? Apart from, we'll see soon, the addictive issues. So look at what he says here. Says the Meiri in number 6. Perush, he gives 4 reasons. Hatam, the reason for this prohibition is lefi she'ena oisik b'yeshuva shel olam. This person who has only a professional gambling life, he's not building the world. She's not building the world. It's not a way to be contributing to the human race. And everybody has to be doing something constructive for the human race. That's number 1. And number 2, ve'ena yodea b'tiv masa umatan. And they don't really get business. The kavanas edus. They don't really know what it means to be a witness. Because they're not involved in a proper business life. They sit at home online, gambling, making bets. They don't really know what it means to be, you know, to have a disagreement with somebody and to be called to court and to give testimony. They're not involved properly in that business world, so you can't trust them. Number 2. Number 3, Ukamosha Regilin Lashakir Ba Emunos Salehem. All they ever do is lie. They're professional liars. Think of a poker player. All you're ever doing is bluffing. All you're ever doing is lying. He says these people live in a world of lies. And they don't even think that they need to defend themselves. They don't feel there's anything wrong with it. They don't see what's wrong with lying. And therefore they won't have any compulsion. They won't have any problem standing up on a witness stand and just lying, because they've become constant liars, these people. And finally, he says, V'chein ein makirim b'toreach v'tzaro shel b'nei adam. And they don't get how hard it is to make a parnosa. They don't have empathy. They don't look at people's hard-working lives and say, you know something, it's tough. It's tough to make money. V'einam chasim al chavreyem lahafsid mamoinim. And therefore, they don't care about taking other people's money away. So it's a very interesting psychological profile. Psychologically profiling somebody who is a professional gambler. They don't have business experience. They don't have empathy. They don't appreciate the value of money. They don't know what's true about life. They merge lying and truth all the time. It's actually a very interesting psychological approach. And says the Miri, that's why we have a problem with this person who is a professional gambler. Okay, fine. So that for sure is going to be a problem. Somebody who is, just cut to the chase, somebody who is a professional gambler will indeed have a halachic problem being a witness. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch soon. And therefore, I've never had this situation if you're officiating in a wedding and the chosim brings his 2 edim along and they're shomi Shabbos and shomi mitzvahs, and one of them runs a professional gambling online, you know, that's a real shaila. Is that person valid as a halachic witness for the wedding? Okay, good. So if they just do it, we'll see what the deal is. But if they're a professional, there are people who are professionals. Again, I'm telling you, one of my students has a brother who does this. So you want to say that the fact is you're a good businessman?
Then you're doing the business. Good.
So maybe one of the issues in the Meiri won't apply because you know how to do business, but maybe still that's not considered to be a business which is building the world. I question, how do you draw the line? What if I import and export weapons? Is that a business which is building the world either? I didn't say that. Maybe it's all these combination of factors together. Let's just go on a little bit. So let's look at Asmachta. So, okay, that's one side of the coin.
That's the owner of the casino.
What's that?
The owner of the casino isn't gambling at all. He's always going to win.
Yeah, the house always wins, right? Okay, fine. He's Dafka, the guy you want to be your business partner, right? Maybe not. Number 7, have a look at here. So, is it Asmachta? What is Asmachta? How does this work? So, let's look at a little bit more detail at this. Why you might think he was and why you might think he was not. So, Asmachta works like this. Number 7. Hahu gavra de kabal ara michavrei. This man receives land from somebody else. He rents it or he leases it and he makes an agreement with it. the armor, and he says to the person who's giving him the land, the person giving him the land says, I'm only giving you to this land to you on the basis you're going to work it, you're develop it. I don't want it to lie fallow. I don't want it to be empty. It's very important to me that it doesn't lie empty. And he says to him, okay, you're right, I've got it, I'm not going to allow it to lie fallow. Amar, he says to the person who gave him the property, Im ovarnala, if I allow it to lie fallow, Yavina lach alpazuzi, I'll give you 1,000 gold coins. Ridiculous amount of money. He clearly has no intention of letting it lie fallow, and he promises him, as a condition, the most crazy amount of money, if indeed he breaks that promise. Okay? So what happened here? Something came up, the Oivir Tilta, and he ended up leaving a third of the land fallow. So the guy takes him to Basedin and says, this is exactly the thing that I told you you couldn't do. So what happened? Amar Naradai, so the judges in Naradai, in Naradaya, said the following. Dinahu, it's the halacha, the yahivle, that he has to give over in damages, tlas mea vataltin vatalsa vatilsa. 333 1/3 gold coins you owe to him, because you promised him 1,000 gold coins if you left it fallow, and you left a third of it fallow, so pay up 333 1/3. Varava Amar, Rava comes and says, no, asmachtehi, this was only ever an asmachta, the asmachta lo kanya, and it's not binding. There's an interesting discussion, Rav Zevin talks about the merchants of Venice, where the promise was a pound of flesh if I don't pay back the money. Would that ever have been enforceable as a contractual term? Or is that exactly what we're talking about here? It's an asmachta. No one ever thinks that they're going to give over a pound of flesh. They never meant it, etc. The Rashbam, over the page on page 3, says, this is how it works. Hamavtiach lechaveru davar. Someone you promise something to do something for someone else. Almanat sheyase davar la'atid. You make a condition that this is what I'm going to do in the future. V'soimech b'liboy. And you have in your own mind, b'shat hatanai, when you make this condition, sheyuchal lekayim adavar k'sheyegi hazman. There's no question that it's never going to happen. You're never going to have to pay up. You're completely in control. You're going to do this. You're not going to have to pay. And then when the time comes, something goes crazy, something goes wrong. There's an oines, and suddenly you're held back. The law, look, and you can't keep the word. And it's completely surprising. That's called an asmachta. You had in mind something, you were in complete control, and then something crazy went wrong. Okay, that's not what I had in mind. So how does that apply to gambling? So look in number 9. So Rashi says, when Rav Sheshes turns around and says, okay, if that's an asmachta, then gambling's not an asmachta. Why? So he says here, Behechi dami asmachta, number 9. So what is a real asmachta? Gambling doesn't count. Why? If I promise you that if I leave it fallow, like we saw there in Bava Metzia, I'm going to pay you a fortune of money. Because he's thinking, I'm in control. I can stop this from happening. I can promise millions of pounds, millions of dollars if I have to do it, if I break, because it's in my control. And therefore, originally, Kimasni, when he made that condition, he never intended to do it. He never thought it would happen. And in the end, something went wrong. But here with gambling, what's he relying on? Gambling is a game of luck as well. Even if there's an element of skill, there's a ton of luck. And therefore, what do you mean you never thought you would lose? What kind of a crazy thing is it? Of course you knew you would lose. Everybody loses in gambling. Anyone with any sense realizes that eventually, you know, everybody loses except for the casino. And you see these nightmare situations of young people online who go from like half, you know, $75 to $500,000 within 3 days, and then they start losing the money and they lose everything. And by the way, on the online gambling is they give you extra money and they lend you money and they keep you in the game and they keep you hooked, etc. We'll talk about the addiction issue. So with gambling, what were you even thinking about? Nevertheless, you made it tonight. You're bound by that because everyone sensible should have known that you might lose. It's not like a regular asmacht. And therefore, you have this debate. Is gambling a problem because of that's your profession and you have no business skill and you have no reliability? Or are we having this problem of asmachta? So very briefly, the halacha, let me quote for you a couple of things. Look in the Rambam. The Rambam in number 10, 11, and 12 gives a fairly straightforward analysis, and this becomes the Sfardi psak. Number 10, Harishayim psulim le'edut min haTorah. People who are wicked are disqualified from being Torah witnesses, or on a Torah level, they're disqualified, and he quotes the Pasuk there. And then he says in number 11, in terms of rabbinic disqualifications, HaMasachkim B'Kubi Aketed. What does it mean to play dice? Number 11, Eile Shemasachkim B'Eitzim, or B'Troros, they play with bits of wood, they play with stones, or B'Atzamos, or with bones, they have dice, whatever, Kiyotzi B'Hem V'Eisin Tanai B'Neim, and they make a deal between them. Shekol HaNotzeach, anyone who wins, Et Chavero, over their friend, B'Eis HaShchok, in this game, Yikach Memenu Kach V'Kach, they're going to take such and such money, says the Rambam, Hari Ze Gezel Midivrehem. You are a thief. The reason that you're excluded from a witness to be a precursor witness is you are a thief. You're taking stolen money. He never intended to pay that money. He never thought he was going to lose. The Afal Pisha Beritzon Abalim Lakach. Even though you want to say, yeah, well, he gave over the money willingly. Hoil the Lakach Mamon Chaveru Bechinam. You just took his money for nothing. Derech Sroik, as a joke, as a game. Vehitl. Harize Gozer, you're a Gazlan. V'cheina maschachkim b'behema or chaya or anyone who races animals or b'ofus or birds v'aisin tenai shekolten and sech behemta or taritz yoter yikach mechaveru kach v'kach. If you take money for having won a race, horse racing, whatever it is, v'kol kiyotzi b'derim elu hakol asur, every element of gambling is prohibited. V'gezel medivrehem hu. Now, straightforward enough, all gambling is prohibited, and we'll see. Rav Avadi says even buying a lottery ticket is prohibited. Even buying a lottery ticket. It's prohibited. We'll see. Rav Avadi is very strict on this issue. But then, surprisingly, the Rambam then seems to take the other side of the story, number 12. The idea is there are other wicked people who are exempted, or rather disqualified on a rabbinic level. The chena masach b'kubia, someone who plays dice. But that's only if he's a professional gambler. So this is a very classic example where the Rambam seems to have taken both sides of the debate. Remember there was a debate in the Gemara? Is it because it's Gezel? Or is it because this is your profession? Two different views. So the Rambam says, it's Gezel, and it's because it's your profession. What's going on here? Make your mind up. So most of the Mephoroshim say it's actually not complicated. The Rambam is simply saying as follows. All gambling is prohibited. When is it prohibited to the point that it actually disqualifies you as a witness? If you're a professional gambler. But if you're not a professional gambler, you're just breaking halacha every time you gamble. You're just not a, you're not disqualified as a witness. And that seems to be the Tzfadi Psak. We'll see in a minute the Shulchan Aruch says that. That gambling is a major problem. Now, what about the Ashkenazim? So let's have a look. Top of page 4. Comes along Tosfos and says a very interesting thing. Tosfos says as follows. Actually, he says, I'm not so sure that gambling is prohibited totally. Look at number 13. Tosfos comes along and says, "V'afa gavda maskin and depligi rabbanon alei the Rabbi Yehuda." Even though we see there's a debate between the rabbanon who says that it's gezel and Rabbi Yehuda who says it's all about your profession, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Kedepasik beperik zed boire. And he brings from another quote: "Amar Rabbi Avahu halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda." The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. It's only about professional gambling. Umikan mashma. And from here it sounds, says Tosfos, Deshari lischok bekubia. Not just you're not exempt, you're not disqualified as a witness if you play unless you're professional, but you're actually allowed to bet. You're allowed to play dice. The afilu l'Rami Bar Chama, and even the view there in the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama, the Mefarish Tamid, the Masachi Bekubi Apostle Meshum Asmachta Loikanya, who says it's this rabbinic gezel. Hein Rabbanon, that's according to the other opinion. That's the Rabbanon's opinion. We don't follow that opinion. Aval Rabbi Yehuda, the Machshe, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not what we follow. Heichad the Gami Umni Sachrisi, as long as you have another profession and you're just a recreational gambler, an occasional gambler, Kasama de Chia Gavna Lava Smachtahi, you're not taking anyone's stolen money and it's even permitted to do. But then he adds something very interesting. He says, but that's only, in number 14, if you put the money on the table. The money has to be on the table. Like I'm in and like I raise you $1,000 or whatever it is. If the money's on the table and you gambled and you won, you can take the money. But if you're only saying the guy's going to have to pay up later, I'm going to enforce this debt, I'm going to get your money out of you, there's no kinyan. How can that be? The kinyan has to be the table in front of you. There has to be money on the table. So even the Ashkenazim, who are going to maybe be a little bit more lenient in principle on betting and say that it's not actually the gezel, that's only if the money's there on the table. If the money's not on the table, then you're taking somebody's money away without you. Right. Now, I'm not a big poker person, I must tell you. I don't think I've ever played poker in my life. But I must tell you, when I was at school, I was on the school bridge team. I don't know if that counts. But But we didn't play for money. Okay, so I was just on the bridge. I was never a very good bridge player, but I used to play a little bit. And maybe something to look forward to when I retire. Maybe, maybe not. But the poker, the money is right there. Okay, fine. So it's a relatively straightforward picture. The Sfaradim basically say all gambling is prohibited. The Ashkenazim say in principle you can gamble, but you can't do it unless the money is right on the table. And if you're professional, everyone agrees that you're an invalid witness. Then there's this strange comment I wanted to bring to you of the Riaz. And Riaz is a very interesting parish. The Riaz is, I brought you in the footnote here, Rabbi Yeshaya ben Eliyahu de Trani, an Italian rabbi from the 12th, 13th century. There was a grandfather and a grandson, both of them called Riaz. And he's quoted here, he says as follows. Look what he says in number 15. He's talking about Hilcha Shabbos. And this is why I wanted to bring you this, because it's fascinating. Nashim, oh, we have women here. There are women on Shabbos who are playing with nuts or apples. They like playing basically marbles on the floor. They're rolling things on the floor. Hari ze asur. Why is it women? I assume because he says the men should be sitting and learning Torah, and what the women are doing is they're playing marbles on the floor. You're not allowed to do. Why you're not allowed to do that? And it's a Shabbos prohibition. You're not allowed to play ball games where there's a ball in close contact with the floor, because when you see, oh look, the ground is a bit uneven here, let's just, you know, make the ground even on Shabbos, because we need to be able to play bool or whatever it is, you're playing with the balls. You can't do that. That's actually halacha. You're not allowed to do that. V'nira be'enai, and then he says something that everybody's wondering what he means. She'im he'masachaka is l'natseach. And if they're playing competitively, okay, zo at zo, one against the other, afilu b'chol osa, they can't even play on a weekday. Mipnei she doy melekubia, because it's like playing dice. What is going on here? You're not allowed to play competitively? Even on a weekday, because there's some kind of general prohibition on competing each other. So look here, I brought you the Shilta Giborim, and he raises another game. Number 16, Divrei Riaz Tzarichian. This is very strange. What is he talking about? This is a skilled game, okay? He's also alluding to something else, which is on Shabbos. I don't know if you're aware of this. You're not allowed to draw lots for things which are random, or cast random lots for different portions the Gemara talks about, because we're worried that's a commercial type transaction. Someone will write it down. You got this, she got this, he got that. This is not talking about drawing lots. Ulididei, end of this first line of 16. According to you, that you can't compete competitively, Yaiv nami asa lischaik, you shouldn't be able to play schaik hashakak. You shouldn't be able to play shakak. What is shakak? Chess. Shakak, shak, check, shek. Shek, as in the idea of shekhmet, the checkmate, exactly, the king is dead, shakhmat, etc. So you, and all Jews play chess, meaning, you know, you're not allowed to play chess. He's horrified. And then he says, look, that must be that we're only talking about people who play for money. You know, people who play for money, that's a problem. That's a problem on Shabbos. That's a problem during the week. I don't know if there are betting rings around chess games. There probably are. But he says, don't tell me that you're also, it's also to play shakak. Because Jews mamash play this. And it can only be that it's an issue on Shabbos, obviously, for money, or even during the week for money as well. And I brought you the Shulchan Aruch. I'm not going to read it inside. It's basically, as we just summarized, the Sfaradim give a very strict psak, and the Ashkenazim open up the window a little bit, maybe for a little bit of gambling, but they say, look, the money has to be on the table. If the money's not on the table, then that is a major problem. The Mishnah Berurah is unhappy. Go over to page 5, and then we'll go look at some very interesting hashkafic issues. Look, go over to page 5. The Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so you're an Ashkenazi, and you feel that you found like a hetzer there, that, okay, the money's on the table. By the way, the Vilna Gaon says that the table has to be jointly owned by both people. It's very hard to satisfy all these conditions. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, no, I'm not happy. 19. Kubia huma shemasachakim be'etzim. Kubia. The kubia hu avak gezel midivrehim. This, as far as he's concerned, is rabbinic theft. He paskens basically like the Sfaradim. She'ein da'aso la'haknosoi b'kinyon gomo. You never, the guy who's paying you money, never really intended to pay that money. U'la'hachi osa af b'chol, and therefore it's prohibited on Shabbos, it's prohibited during the week, it's prohibited completely. And he brings down in the footnotes there in the Shaar Tzion, l'dat ha'rambam, even, this is the Rambam's opinion, v'afilu l'dat ha'tur, sham ein nechon mitzad acher. And even if you want to kvetch, that like, oh, we don't paskin like the Rambam, I'll give you another bunch of reasons that says why you shouldn't be gambling ever at all, and we're going to get to those reasons in a minute. So basically, bottom line, I don't think you really have a heter to gamble. I'm not even sure you could even put a money in a slot machine and do that, because the Ashkenazim say, the Sephardim certainly say it's a problem. The Ashkenazim seem to even go like the Sephardim. You might want to argue, I suppose, that the people who own the slot machines are only too pleased to give you the winnings, because they'll just keep you hooked and you'll put more money in and more money in and more money in. So maybe a professional gambling house might be different, but basically you're on thin ice. Yes.
I wanted to add, I forgot his name, but a fellow owned a casino in Las Vegas who gave lots of money.
Ah. Oh.
Are you allowed to accept that money?
No, probably not. I mean, that's a good question. If people, what are you saying?
Sheldon Erickson.
Right, Edelstein or Aronson? Edelstein, okay, then we get into politics as well because of Edelstein, yeah. So look, I'm not getting into all of that now as to whether you should. We'll see about Stocker in a minute, whether that makes any difference. Okay, so the halakha is relatively straightforward. But what about a lottery? You want to play the lottery? What's the problem with playing the lottery? So have a look here in number 20. So there's a bunch of very interesting sources here from here to the end of the sheet. Let's do them really quickly, but they're fascinating. So the Rivash. The Rivash comes in and says the following. Number 20, bottom of page 5. There's a blue car. Is he blocking something? There's a blue car causing a problem? There's a blue car causing a problem. If you have a blue car, then maybe your car is in trouble. Just go and have a look. Have a look at number 20, please. The Afila L'Rav Sheshis. Okay, so you want to follow the more lenient opinions. It's not Gezel D'Rabbanon. Says the Rivash as follows. The Sfira Lehasan Deleika Asmachta B'Kubiyah. That says it's not an issue of Asmachta. Mikol Markam, and look how he describes gambling. Dava Mechu'ar Metu'av U'meshukatzhu. It's a disgrace, it's a disgusting thing, it's a terrible, terrible thing. And then he says, and it's also dangerous. V'rabim chalalim hipil v'atsumim kol harugav. That is a paraphrase of Mishlei, where it says, look how many people have lost everything when it comes to gambling. They don't realize this has been recognized. U'mefurashu b'Yerushalmi, and it's clear in the Yerushalmi, demi shenadar, someone who makes a neder, shelo litzchok, that he won't gamble anymore to try and stop themselves gambling. Ein matirin oto. You're not allowed as a rov to do hataras nedarim. You may not be matir that neder. It's something which is deeply, deeply damaging on many, many different levels. Look at number 21. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about playing bingo. I'm not trying to ruin your recreational time here. But look what he says. Aval lischeik beklafim. What about card games? Karten, he says. Ubingo and bingo. Ukadome. Af she'ein alze isur barur. Of course, he's Ashkenazi, and he says, I'm not sure that, like the Sfarim, that there's a real absolute isur barur. Clear, sir? Heim dvarim mechuarim b'chol makam. These are always things you shouldn't be doing. Shehu, kol makam shehu. V'gam hu k'moshav leitzim. And also, yom smoshav leitzim. Meaning, and again, where do you draw the line? You know, somebody wants to have a, you know, bingo in the care home. You know, you've got to close it all down as Moshe relates him. Everybody has to have a, you know, an educational speaker. I don't know. It's an interesting question. But he's going to say, basically, Moshe relates him. Nobody should be doing bingo. And also, it's Bittel's man. Have a look here in the Shulchan Aruch and the issue of hard work. Look in 22. It says, Yesh Misha Oimeh. There is a view, shamasachek bekubia im oivet kachavim, and I'm surprised nobody asked this already. If the problem is gezel derabbanon, what's the problem with betting and playing with non-Jews? that the Chazal never made that Issa Darabonon when it comes to taking away the non-Jews' money. They only made it with the Jews' money. On a Torah level, it's permitted. Chazal came in and said, on a rabbinic level, it's prohibited. So why can't you gamble with non-Jews? What's the problem? Eimo b'shem gezel. And there is no gezel there. Aval yesh bo issa oisik b'dvarim b'teilim. And that's actually in the Shulchan Aruch. There's an issa of oisik v'dvarim b'teilim. And again, where do you draw this line? You know, everybody needs to relax. Everybody needs to sit down, watch a movie, and chill out every now and then. People are stressed. That's not called being oisik b'dvarim b'teilim, until it is called being oisik b'dvarim b'teilim. Where do you draw that line? You have to be honest with yourself, and it's very hard to be honest with yourself when you need to relax, you need to have fun, you need to chill out. That's perfectly reasonable. But at a certain point, like, people become engrossed in this. It's called Oisik B'Dvarim B'Teilim. Gambling becomes more than just a recreation. She'ein roi la'adam she'yasa kol yamav ele b'divrei chochma v'yishuva shel olam. Men and women in this world are not meant to be using their time other than for divrei chochma, learning, thinking, discussing, and helping people, building the world, creating things. This is not what you were put here to do, to sit and gamble. Doesn't matter if the guy is a non-Jew or the woman is a non-Jew. The point is, you shouldn't be doing this. So too, hard work, the value of hard work. Look at number 23. Yagia kapecha ki toichel ashrecha v'tovlach. It's good for you to work hard for a living. It's good for you. A quick, easy buck is a very bad thing. Number 24, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, Amar, says, what does he say? Sheina shel shacharis, sleeping late in the morning. V'yayin shel tzaraim, and too much alcohol at lunchtime. Okay? And then that, you all know how that works. That's the end of the rest of the day then, you know? And I remember when I used to be a lawyer, it used to be a very different world in the 1990s as a lawyer. There was a lot of lunchtime client entertainment. And that is the end of the day, I promise you. Okay? Vesichat yeladim, and sitting and talking to kids, stupid conversations that don't mean anything. Vyeshivas batek knesya shel amaratzim, and hanging out with ignorant people, moitzim es ha'adam in ha'olam, it takes you out of the world. And the Sforner says a fascinating thing, which I found very impactful. He explains in number 25 on Pirkei Avos, moinim es ha'adam mehasik chai olam. So you're not going to get the next world because it's useless activity. V'gan kei mehasik chai shah, and it's not even doing anything for you in this world. V'zeh l'roiv mashin nimshach mehem, and when you get involved in this stuff, mi ibud hazman bilti sheyargik ha'adambo, yargish ha'adambo. Meaning, there's only one thing worse than wasting time, which is wasting time and you don't even realize you're wasting time. Meaning, at least if we're going to waste time, we should be conscious of the fact that we're wasting time. But when you start getting into stuff that you don't even realize you're wasting time, then that's really a very negative thing. Okay, so there's a lot of negative aspects to this as well. And then there's the addictive angle, because it's very interesting. Gambling has been recognized as an addiction all the way through. And I know people, you know, whose family has been destroyed. I'm sure you do over the years that you've seen people buy these things. And it's very difficult for anyone to understand unless they've been in this situation. Have a look in number 26. The Gemara says here, Masachik Bekubia. People who play dice. Elohim Masachim Bepisvesim. These are people who play with the little tokens. Maybe Pisvesim are like chips. You know, they have, I don't mean like fish and chips. I mean like chips in a casino chips. But like Pisvesim Bilvad Amru. Even people who are playing with the shells, the klipi rimonim, the aimatai chazarasan, how do we know when they've done tshuva from gambling? How do we know when they've managed to kick that habit? Only when they've destroyed their dice. It's not good enough, it says, to put them in the cupboard and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. The only way, says the Gemara, you can do tshuva from gambling is to destroy the actual things that you use for gambling. That you couldn't even use them for an innocent play without any money. Meaning, it's the Gemara seems to say, and this is very interesting, we'll see Rabbi Twersky in a minute, there are certain addictions where once you've managed to keep, like, on the wagon, as it were, even the slightest journey back into that whole mindset is enough to destroy the whole the whole recovery. And the Gemara recognizes this. Fascinatingly, the rehabilitation has to be psychologically irreversible. You just don't own these things anymore. And Rav Avadi comes in, number 27, and says, Kirabu Chalalim Hipil Vasumin Kol Al Harugav. He quotes there from the Rivash that we saw, so many people have been destroyed. The Gamna Mifala Pious, even when it comes to the lottery, he says, an innocent lottery. Yesh Rabim Shekinim Kartisim Rabim, there are people, Nebuch, who buy so many tickets. Kimat Bechol Demei Maskorotam, they spend their whole salary on tickets. Bechoshvam, and they thinking, Ulai Mispar Echad Mehem Yarvich, maybe there will be one ticket that wins. You know, someone's got to win. Ula Besoif Yotzim Beshen V'ayin, and in the end they become like Avadim, they're sold, they become slaves to this, and they only go out when they're injured. They lose their property, they lose their money. Even if you want to fetch out that the Ramah says that the Ashkenazim are allowed to gamble a little bit. Okay, and he disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Anan, v'didan kibalnu aleinu hora'at maran, we, the Sfaradim, have accepted the Shulchan Aruch as absolute. Bein lahakel, bein lahachmir, we follow the Bet Yosef. U'kumon shekaru alav l'chu el Yosef. Go to Yosef, and Yosef will tell you what you have to do. That, of course, is from the parsha a couple of weeks ago. But says the Shulchan, says the Rav Avadia, we go by the Bet Yosef. Rav Avadia Yosef as well. In fact, and I mentioned this before here, Rav Avadia, the study of Rav Avadia's halachic methodology was a PhD thesis of Rav Binyamin Lau, who, as I'm sure many people either know him personally or have read his things. He wrote the book Mimaran Ad Maran, which talks about the idea of Maran Abet Yosef to Maran Rav Avadia Yosef, and how he turned it into a fascinating sefer. I recommend it. If anyone's interested in halachic methodology, but he says stay away from it. If you look here on Rabbi Twersky, of course Rabbi Twersky was, I'm sure, well known to many people here. He writes about addiction in very many areas. It's now widely recognized, by the way, that gambling is one of those few things which really actually releases the chemicals in the brain, whether you win or whether you lose, that actually causes addiction in the same way that addictions to chemical substances take place. If you look at number 28, recovery from any addiction is fraught with the possibility of relapse. The delusion of being able to gamble socially and in a controlled manner may recur. Along with this come all the negative character features, lying, cheating, manipulating, etc. While certainly destructive, relapse should not result in despair on the part of the gambler and family. Unfortunately, it may take more than one relapse to finally realize that he has no control over gambling, that he must distance himself from anything that will lead to gambling. One gambler with years of recovery said that he doesn't join the family in playing Monopoly. I must stay away from handling dice. And we saw that explicitly in the Gemara. This kind of awareness of the insidious seductiveness of gambling is essential to prevent relapse. And then in 29, he says, there is serious evidence that some people have a genetic propensity towards addiction. There is a physical element to gambling, for the gambler becomes addicted to the pleasant sensation of endorphins released by gambling activity, winning or losing. And one of the main psychological characteristics of the addict is low self-esteem, the promise of winning at gambling feeds upon, and environmental factors. Exposure to involvement with gambling addiction can lead to potential gambler to become an actual one. And actually, with young people, this is an even bigger problem than drug abuse, for a few reasons, which I brought you down at the bottom of the page. Number one, I think teenagers do understand on a certain level why addiction to drugs could be deeply destructive to them and to their families. But they don't necessarily understand what the problem is with sports betting. Why is that an issue? We're just having fun. And they don't see. It's much harder to communicate that somehow you've got yourself into a mindset where everything has to be monetized. Gambleization or whatever it's called. Gamblification of everything. Also, they see their parents doing it. Which is, they don't see their parents taking hard drugs on the whole, but they do see their parents, you know, putting money on, whether it's a Super Bowl or whatever it is. And I'm not saying all gambling is the same as all other gambling, but this is modeled as behavior around them. And they need thrills. It's not good enough to now see who wins. You have to bet. And by the way, sports betting is very, very sophisticated. They're not just betting on who wins and who loses. They're betting on how many hits will it take before the guy gets out, and how many compared to how many used to take, and the people who are going to come from the back. You can monetize almost every single angle of the game, and people, and of course people, especially, you know, Yiddish Kopf, think they've worked out all the algorithms. They've worked it out. I've studied all the stats, and I've looked at all the history, and I've studied the players, etc., etc. And of course, all around them, everything all around them is saying, "Do it again, do it more, do it more." You drive around, see the, you know, the lottery signs. Drive around America, and you see the numbers flashed up: $600 million, $700 million. Who doesn't want to stop the car and buy a lottery ticket if they could win $700 million? Even though, as is this famous quote, that the lottery is a tax on people who can't do math. Yeah, you're not going to win. And by the way, actually, this is the people don't realize, like, a 1 in 5 million chance. It's not going to happen. People say, "Oh yeah, you could. You know, someone's got to win." There's more chance of you being hit by an asteroid that falls down from outer space as you walk out of the house to get in the car than winning the lottery. So yeah, people, "Oh, I don't know. It could happen, etc., etc." I found you a couple of fascinating sources, and then we'll look at some final issues. Look in number 30, 31, and 32. What does the Gemara say about addiction generally? So this is fascinating. Amalei Rav Chia Lebrei. Rav Chia said to his son, number 30, "Lo tishte sama. Don't drink these chemicals. Don't drink these chemicals." Why? What was his problem? Drinking these chemicals. So Rashi, "Lo tishte sama. Lo tilmad lishtot samim." Don't get yourself used to drinking these chemicals, these drugs. Mipnei shetikba lahon, or tikaba lahon. You'll become fixed on them. Okay, veset. You'll have a pattern of behavior which is fixed. Ve'yehe libcha sholech, and you'll be constantly needing them. Utefaseh ma'ot, and you'll end up spending all your money on them. Could be alcohol, it could be drugs, meaning you'll become... And the Rashbam says, and what about medical applications? What about medical marijuana? So the Rashbam argues here, number 32. So he quotes Rashi, "Lo tishte sama, don't take these drugs. Al tishte samim," he quotes first of all Rashi, "don't drink these drugs, these chemicals. Mipnei shenikba lahem yunikaba, you'll become fixed on them. Vesed, you have a fixed pattern. Yehei libcha shol v'tafsid ma'os." And he says, "Va'afilu l'refuah." And even if you say, "Well, I'm only doing it for a medical reason," "Lo tishti im efsha l'refuah acheret." This should be the last option, he says, even for a medical option, if there's a danger of it becoming an addictive behavior, and medications can become addictive. We've seen this in America. There are entire addictions to different medications.
The more effective it has, the faster it happens.
Right.
All the brethren in Yeshiva
smoking. Ah, we'll get to smoking when we get to smoking. Okay, we'll have... We'll, don't you worry, we'll talk about smoking. Okay, just finally, some issues. I say, Lamaisa, can you buy a lottery ticket or can you not buy a lottery ticket? Rabbi Vadi says no. Rabbi Vadi says no. Look at the top of page 8. He says, "Nishalti ha'im mutar min hadin lishtateif b'kniyat kartisei ha'grala shel mifal ha'payis." I've been asked to Shaila, are you allowed to buy a lottery ticket? Maskana didina. And of course, after 20 pages of analysis, he says, "My conclusion is shehasfaradim, okay, the Eidot HaMizrach, if you're Sfaradi or you're from Eidot HaMizrach, asur lehem lishtateif b'kniyat kartisei mifal ha'payis. The kol shekein kartisei sports." Sports betting is even worse than this. Liminaim of all different kinds. "A mesachkin b'Shabbos," because then you're encouraging people to play on Shabbos. "U'mechalel Shabbos b'rahesia," and you're encouraging Shabbos breach by putting money into sports which are played on Shabbos. "V'nimsa shehu mesayel day ovri avera," which is very interesting. Is that your responsibility as to making people play on Shabbos if you're paying money for the sports? He says it's not lifnei iver because they do it without you, but it is mesayel day ovri avera. You are contributing to people who are doing something which is basically prohibited for Shabbos reasons. And then he says, "The afla Ashkenazim yesh la'asur bazeh." And in case you think you've got off scot-free, even Ashkenazim shouldn't do it either.
How does he differentiate?
For sure. No, he doesn't really think you're allowed to be Ashkenazi at all, is the truth. Really, if you live in a Sephardi country like Israel, you should really be Sephardi anyway. For Shomea lanu yishko betach. And if you listen to me, you'll be okay, he says. Shomea betach. Now, fine. I brought you a long analysis in number 34 by Rav Svi Spitz. Rav Svi Spitz says that you actually are. Yes, sir. No, he's talking about everything. He's talking about everything. Just 1 second.
I once heard a quote from, I don't know if it was Rabbi Shaw Salanter or someone of that level, who said, "What is Yil Bitachon?
Just one lottery ticket. Right, you know, please God, I want to win the lottery. They'll meet me halfway and buy a ticket. By the way, there was a very interesting story of the Meshech Chochma, which may be a bit apocryphal, but it was brought down as a story. The Meshech Chochma says there were two men in his community. Meshech Chochma was living in Dvinsk in the 1920s. He says there were two men in his community. One was an honest man, okay, who, you know, made a small amount of money in business, and the other man was a ganef, but he was a ganef who was a schlemazel, okay, and he was a very unsuccessful ganef. So what happened was, these two men bought a lottery ticket. The man who was the honest man and the man who was the ganef. But the ganef then realized that he never wins anything because he's a schlemazel. So he switched the tickets. And he put in the house of the honest man his ticket. And he took the ticket from the honest man. And you know how this is going to end. The honest man's ticket lost. And now that's the one the ganef is holding. Okay, and the ganef's ticket had the winning numbers. So he wasn't just a schlemazel, but he was a chutzpan, because then again he goes to Beis Din to try and get the other ticket back to say that that's really my ticket and there was no kinyan, I only tried to steal it and that doesn't really work, etc., etc. And the Meshech Chochma had to decide whether the ganef was entitled to the money or not, that he just stole the other guy's ticket. Okay, that's not for now. You can, you know, Rav J. David Bleich has an analysis of that halachically, where he actually concludes that the ganef probably could get the ticket back in theory, but in practice not. Anyway, Rav Zvi Spitz says, don't worry, if you're Ashkenazi, you can buy a lottery ticket. Also, Rav Moshe Sternbuch says the same thing. And the reason he gives is as follows, two main reasons. Number one, buying a lottery ticket is very different from gambling on a game, because you're actually buying an asset. You own something. You're not just betting. You own something. It's an investment. You paid $1 for this piece of paper, which may be worth tomorrow morning nothing, or it may be worth $1 million. That's called making an investment. That's not called betting. And therefore, you're allowed to do that. And he says even more so when it comes to the National Lottery, it's not like you're taking their money against their will. They want to pay you the prize money. They're desperate to pay you the prize money because then more people will buy the lottery next time, and they're doing it for stucker, and they're doing it for good causes. And he says, and then therefore, how are these things even related? You're definitely allowed to buy a lottery ticket. And again, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, who is not really known as one of the great mekilim in halacha, he paskens on the top of page 9 that you're an Ashkenazi is allowed to buy a lottery ticket, and almost like as a response to Rav Avadia, he says, and you know something, even a Sfaradi is allowed to buy one as well. Okay, Bein Ashkenazim, Bein Sfaradim. Okay. Another issue when it comes to Staka, which I think is very important, and the Gemara, and I brought down Shulchan Aruch in 36, Nadar Litzadaka Ba'asmachta. What if you make one of these pledges for a Staka, which is technically Asmachta? It's a promise you never really had in mind that you're going to give. So it's not binding. Says no. When it comes to stocker, kagain im esedava plaini etin kach v'kachas l'stocker. Somebody says no. If I do that, I'm never going to do that. If I do that, I'm going to give $1 million to stocker, which of course he never intended to do. The asau, and then he does it. Chayev liten. We can take him to Beis Din. Why? Why is it okay? Because don't forget, on a Torah level, this was always a binding promise. It's on a rabbinic level that we invalidated it as a smachta. So when it comes to stocker, it's not like you can steal money and give it to stocker. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that in order to increase the amount of money that's going to stockers, Chazal never invalidated that particular transaction when it comes to stockers, so asmachta is allowed, which is another reason why, for the lottery, that's not a reason to prohibit it, because as I say, it's really a stocker that they're doing. In terms of risky investments, that's a good question. At what point does your investment become basically a gamble? I brought you some good investment advice, which, you know, you can take it or leave it, but you heard it here. Number 37, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, La'olam yashlish adam et ma'osav. You should always split your money into three, says the Gemara. Shlish bakarka, you should invest a third of your money in real estate. Shlish bapragmatia, you should invest a third of your money in some kind of business that's actually yielding money that way. V'shlish tachat yado, and you should have a third of your income liquid that you can get your hands on at any point. If you do that, says the Gemara, that's called, you know, rabbinic investment advice from Chazal. Do it and see how it works. Everyone has something that they look back and they say, oh, if only I hadn't thrown away those things, or if I'd bought a property then, etc. Everyone's clever afterwards, so you'll see how that works. But certainly, when it comes to extremely risky investments, then there comes a point when it might even be prohibited. But it's once you're buying a stock on the market, Rav Lichtenstein Paskins, Rav Soloveitchik Paskins, that's not called gambling, that's called investing. And I brought you finally two sources, you can read them on your own, about playing dreidel. I find, maybe I'm finding it hard to let go of Hanukkah, but like the last gasp of Hanukkah, I promise you, nothing more. Both the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura come out absolutely negatively. You cannot play dreidel on Hanukkah. And even though you've got all the Gimel is Gans and Ahay is Halp and Shin is Shtim and all that kind of stuff, says no more dreidel. Do something more useful instead. Sing some rousing songs and get yourself in the mood in Shiros B'Shvachos. Next week we'll move on to other things. I'm going to finish now so Rabbi Goldschneider can start on time. But thank you very much, and hopefully we'll carry on next week.